Now continue with the second Mishnah in the 10th parak. So the second Mishnah is really a continuation, a very close continuation of the first Mishnah, which was dealing with the case where a woman was in a guna, her husband had disappeared when he was abroad, and we don't know if he's dead or alive, and then we had some sort of confirmation that he was dead, we had some testimony that he was dead, and based on our investigation, and based on her investigation, we permitted her to remarry. And then her husband appeared. So what happens in that case? Nises Alpi Basin. If she got married Alpi Basin, meaning she got married not based on the testimony of two witnesses, not based on the standard requirement of testimony, but based on the special exemption that Beis Din gives her, that Chazal give her for marriage if she has, if there's the testimony of one witness and she has done an investigation. So if she gets married on the assumption that her husband is dead, based on the testimony of this one witness and her own investigation, and then her husband comes back and is, so we see that he's alive, Teitze. So she has to divorce both the first and the second guy. All of the penalties that were listed in the previous mission, the first mission of the parak, apply. And now the mission says, Upetura mina karban. And she's pater from a karban. She doesn't have to bring a karban. So even though she would generally have to bring a karban in a case where she was an, where she was over on the Dine Arayos Bishogeg, where she violated the laws of immorality, here she had relations with a, as a married woman, but she did Bishogeg, so generally she would have to bring a karban. In this case, she is pater from the karban, because if someone sins, but they sin based on the psak of Beis Din, based on the permission that Beis Din gave her to remarry in this situation, so she is not obligated to bring a karban chatas, that is one of the exemptions from the general rules of obligation to bring a chatas. Lo nises alpi Beis Din. But if she didn't get married alpi Beis Din, meaning there was the standard form of testimony, there were two witnesses, and then the two witnesses were proven to be wrong, meaning the husband came back. Teitze, again, she has to divorce v'chayeves b'karban. But she is chayev in a karban. There is no special exemption here from the karban chatas because she's a standard shogeg. She made a mistake based on inaccurate information, based on incorrect characterization of the situation. Yafa koach Beis Din. So this is one case where Beis Din actually is powerful in the sense that peturim in a karban, in the sense that it exempts her from a karban. Normally, when a woman has this illicit relationship b'shogeg with on incorrect assumptions, so she would be obligated to bring a karban. But because she did it relying specifically on a special exemption of Beis Din, on a special hora of Beis Din, she is exempt from a karban. Horuha Beis Din linase. Now, what happens if Beis Din gave her this special exemption in the case where there's only one witness, and based on one witness and her investigation, the Beis Din said you are permitted to remarry as a special exemption for the heter aguna to allow her to get out from this uncertain marriage, maybe her husband's dead, v'holchag v'kolkola. But instead of getting remarried in the normal, to in a normal way, in a halachic way, she goes and marries in an inappropriate way. For example, now she's assumed to be a widow, and she goes and marries a Kohen Gadol, and she's usher as a widow to marry a Kohen Gadol. Or, let's say, she was divorced from a previous marriage, and now, after the end of this marriage, she goes and marries a Kohen, and a divorced woman is not allowed to marry a Kohen. So in those situations, she used the permission of Beis Din, the heter, the special exemption of Beis Din, in an inappropriate way, in a way that was not really approved, because they did not approve her patur, her release from her first husband on the assumption that he's dead, with the outcome that she would do an iser. So in that case, chayeves b'karban. She has to bring a karban chatas, shelo itiru alei nasei, because they only exempted her from this first marriage to marry in a halachic way. But if she married in a non-halachic way, then she doesn't have that normal exemption of Beis Din. She has the normal status of a woman who did something bishogeg. She married in an illicit way bishogeg under false assumptions, and therefore she is obligated to bring a karban. That's the second Mishnah. Now we proceed to the third Mishnah. And the third Mishnah has a number of cases which come off of this same original case. This original case where the woman's husband, Ha'isha Shalach Bala bin Alam bin Yasiyam, the woman whose husband is overseas, we don't know what happened to him, we don't know if he's dead, if he's lost, if he's delayed, or if he's sick, we don't know what the case is. But in this case, Ha'isha Shalach Bala ubin Alam bin Yasiyam, here, both her husband and her child went overseas, and we don't know what happened to either of them. So now we're not only uncertain about the status, her married status, but even if her husband is dead, but maybe her son is still alive. And if her son is still alive, she is not obligated in Yibum. Or, on the other hand, maybe her son and her husband were both killed, and her son died before her husband died. So at the time that her husband died, she had no children. So therefore, in that case, she'd be obligated to do Yibum or Chalitza with her brother-in-law. So that, but she doesn't know. She doesn't know, is her husband and son dead? She doesn't know if they are dead and what order they died. Ubov Amrila, and they came and said to her, Mesbal lacha v'achar kach mes b'neich. First, your husband passed away, and then your son passed away. They're both dead, but your husband passed away first, which would be sort of a normal assumption for if they died, how they would die. So in that case, she is not connected for Yibum, because her son died after her husband died. So at the time her husband died, she had a child. She is permitted to marry whoever she wants. She cannot marry her brother-in-law, Beniseis. And so on that assumption, she got married to someone outside the family, to another person. V'achar kach amrla. And then other witnesses came back and confirmed the story, but with one slight adjustment. Chiluf hayadvarim. They came and said that actually what happened was your son died first and then your husband died. In which case, if your son died first and then your husband died, when your husband died, you had no children, and therefore you're obligated to either do Yibum or Chalitza with your brother-in-law. And so this marriage that she's in now, which she did on the assumption that she was not obligated in Yibum or Chalitza, is actually an illicit marriage, because if you're tied to Yibum, if you're tied to Chalitza, you are not allowed to marry someone outside that relationship. So therefore, Teitze, she has to get divorced from this second husband, the person she's really not supposed to be married to. She has to separate from him. V'havlad rishon v'acharon mamzer. And the first and last son, any son she had with this second person, is a mamzer. And is a mamzer because this is an illicit relationship of a type of yivam alashok, of a woman who is supposed to get yibum or chalitza and went and married. And Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that there is a mamzer from that sort of relationship, and therefore the child is a mamzer. Amrula, if they came to her and said, in the new case, meis b'neich v'achar kach meis v'aleich. So, going back to the beginning, the first testimony she received is that her husband passed away. The first testimony she received is that her son passed away, and then her husband passed away. So therefore, she is obligated to either get Yibum or Chalitza v'nesiyama, and she actually got married. She did Yibum with her brother-in-law, v'achar kach amrula, but then they came back and confirmed the testimony, but with an adjustment. Chiluf hayudvarim, that actually it happened the other way around. That really your husband passed away first, and then her son passed away. So really she's not subject to the laws of Yibum, and really the marriage to her brother-in-law is a illicit relationship. It's a chayve karis, because except under the circumstances of an obligation of Yibum, one is not allowed to marry their brother-in-law. So in this case, she's illicitly married to her brother-in-law. She didn't illicit Yibum, so Teitze, she has to divorce him, v'ablad v'ishon v'achor mamzer. And here, any child from that brother-in-law is a mamzer, because that's a completely illicit relationship. So even though it was done under false pretenses, that doesn't affect the status of the child, who is a mamzer. Amrula, now a different case. What happens if they told her, Meis Balech, your husband died, Benises, and she got married based on this testimony. And then they came and said to her, Kayam haya lames. So this is going back to the case of just a husband. So they came and said, confirmed that her husband had passed away. But then, later on, they came and they said, you know what, he actually is dead, but he didn't die when we thought he did. He just died recently, meaning he died after you got married, based on the assumption that he was dead. He was alive at that time, now he's dead. So Teitze Bavlad Rishon Mamzer. So she has to divorce, she has to separate from the second guy, the second man, as part of the penalties that the Chazal imposed on her because of her lack of investigation, as we learned in the first Mishnah of the Perek. And the first and the child from him is a mamzer. Va'achron, but a later child, any later child, so now her husband really is dead, ain't a mamzer, so is not going to be a mamzer because she is not an ishesish. Now she is not, she doesn't have a husband, and so she could really get remarried now. Amrula, what if they said to her, again, this is a case with just a husband, and they said, Meis balech, your husband is dead. And Beniskacha, and she did an investigation, apparently an inadequate investigation, she thought her husband was dead, and so she did kedushin with a man. She did the first stage of marriage, but it never consummated the marriage through Nisuin. So she only did kedushin, and then her husband, v'achar kach ba'bala, and then her husband returns. So in that case, muteras lachzer lo. In that case, there are no penalties, since the marriage with the second person was never consummated, even though there was every intention that it would be consummated, but since her husband came back in time before the marriage was completed, so she's permitted to remarry the first husband, since it was never actually acted on, so there are no penalties applied. And afal pi shenasan la'achron get, even if the second man who she had kedushin with does give her a get, which was obviously not a valid kedushin because you can't give kedushin to a married woman, you can't be married in any sense to a married woman, so that was not a valid kedushin. And even if he gives her a get to complete the separation, lo paslam in akuna, that's a meaningless get, and the get doesn't make her puzzle from kahuna. Normally a divorced woman, even if the divorce is from kedushin, would be puzzle to kahuna, but here, since the kedushin is meaningless, she's not puzzle to kahuna. As though darash Rabbi Elazar ben Masya, visha grusha meisha, that it has to be a woman who is divorced from her husband, right? Meaning it has to be from her husband, lo meisha ino isha. But if she's divorced from a man who's not her husband, in this case, where the man is not her husband at all because the kedushin was not valid because she's a married woman, so in that case, there is no penalties, and she's not even puzzle from kahuna. If her first husband dies, then she may marry a kohen.